I want to have a time where we just stop and pray. Thank you, fellows, for singing and playing and blessing our hearts. But I want to have a time, if you take that to Bob Bryant. Brother Bob, why don't you pray for Israel? And you know, the Bible is very clear that you need to stand with Israel. And most of you have seen the news of all that's going on. I don't pretend to know everything and all of the aspects of that, but I certainly know our obligation is to pray for God's chosen people, and that's the Israelites, the country of Israel. So, Bob, Brother Bob, would you pray for them right now as a church, and let's all gather together behind as he prays.
Father, we thank thee again for this privilege that we can come to thee in relation to Israel tonight. We know that nothing takes you by surprise. Mm. We know that you are setting things up for the rapture of the church. And we just pray tonight that you will be with them, protect them, and just give them the peace that they need. And we just pray now that you, again, we know that everything's in your control. We know that these things are the signs of the end times. We just pray now that you'll just be with us. We thank you again for this privilege to come to you and to pray for them. And just be with us now tonight. Be with the service, be with our preacher, and just pray now that you'll just bless in every area. Thank you again for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And Brother Kyle, if you just keep that microphone with you. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14. I've been reading, someone gave me a book and about the musings of Paul, basically, and one of these things here, we see God using the Apostle Paul to explain his motives here as he's writing to the church of Galatia. We see in Galatians 6, verse number 14, we'll read the last of the chapter, but we'll mostly stay in verse number 14 tonight. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to the rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Again in verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us in this hour, we ask, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I failed to mention, but I challenge you to be praying for Dr. Clarence Sexton, where she pastors the Temple Baptist Church over in Powell, right outside of Knoxville. And I didn't know until we were in England, actually, but he'd been in the hospital at that point for about 3 weeks. And I think he's been moved to a hospital and now moved to a rehab. So I'm not sure all that's going on. But please keep this good brother in lifted up in prayer. He's a great man of God. And we thank God for him and the work that God has used him to do. So please keep him lifted up in prayer. Should I glory is the question I'm looking at tonight. And of course, you'd say the first answer comes to your mind. Well, no, of course not. But I look tonight at this question and I look at the scriptures and where God says, and to us, but God forbid. Anytime God puts that in there, that ought to be a flashing red light. It ought to be a great sign that says, as if bridge is out and don't come this way or do not enter. God forbid. And we see this very stern subject of what we should never allow to happen. God forbid that I should glory. And I hope that at this church or any church, as these fellows get ready to go to Murfreesboro and they have a conference there with many different pastors, may each and every one of those that stand to speak, and may everybody that from this pulpit always have what the Scripture commands us here, that attitude that says, God forbid that I should glory. I want to preach to you for just a little while. Point number one being this, and that is that I have one claim to fame. If you're taking notes, I have one claim to fame. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. I almost titled this, or almost called this point, check your ego at the door. Because there's a lot of people, it doesn't matter what business you're in. And if you look at church work as a business, then people could say the same about a church. But it doesn't matter what church you pastor, what church you attend, what church you're an evangelist out of, or what meetings you have. We ought to check our ego at the door, because I don't care if there's thousands that come hear you or there's three that come hear you. Matters not. We ought to check our ego at the door, because the great Apostle Paul, used of God to have wonderful meetings, said this under inspiration of God, says, God forbid that I should glory. Kyle, you have that microphone with you? Where'd you go? And I just want you to give us a couple. If you'd raise your hand, tell one of your favorite pastors, one of your favorite preachers. I know it's me. I understand. But let's not all say the same one, okay? I don't want to embarrass myself. So let's see here. Brother Larry, you got one? Kyle's got a microphone there.
I have several favorite pastors. Preacher Lassley's been a favorite pastor. Yeah. George Higgins, which nobody in this building has ever heard of, I don't guess. He was a pastor that I really got right with the Lord under.
Amen.
The first Sunday he was at Central Free Will Baptist Church was the first Sunday that I ever went to that church with Linda as a date. And I thank the Lord for that day.
Yeah.
Amen. And he's a very uneducated preacher, but a very wise man. And he led that church and its predecessor after that, or successor after that, to greater heights in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Yeah. Amen. Sure. Amen. Brother Daniel, we'll get a microphone from one of these guys as well. Somebody back that way, if you'll get Kyle's attention there. Give us a pastor that's really been used of the Lord in your life, and then we'll get one over here as well when Brother Daniel gets this side. I saw somebody over here, but it could have been Emmett. Emmett? Oh, say it louder for everybody, Emmett. No. Shh, 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 shh. Listen, we want to hear him. Who is it? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, so Dr. Ralph Sexton has made a huge impact in my life and the family of and my family's life, actually.
Amen to that.
And he's had a lot of revivals in this area in Western North Carolina, and Danny was saved during one of those revivals.
Amen.
So he's a lot of the reason that I'm sitting right here.
Special place in your heart.
Yep, wow. Absolutely.
Amen. But James?
For me, it would be Pastor Eric. Virginia is our home church.
Let's get your microphone on. Which one you got? Six?
Six.
Okay, try it again.
Hello.
Oh, hey. Pastor Eric Hastings in Mechanicsville, Virginia, is from my home church. He really led me and guided me for the formative years of my Christianity. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for his pastorship. And it means a lot to me.
Amen to that. Somebody back there by Kyle? And somebody get Brother Daniel's attention back here, and we'll get one. Some pastor that's meant a lot to you? God's used him in your life? Right up there, Brother Johnson.
Well, we were in Virginia. I was in the military, and Pastor Dale Coffey was a preacher at Maranatha Baptist Church, and that's the first time we really had the opportunity to get a full understanding of faith promise, and that has stuck with us for the from that point forward, and we're so thankful for that opportunity and what we learned at that church and through
his Amen to
teaching.
That. Good.
Dr. John Wait. Stevens.
Number six back here. Yes, ma'am.
Dr. John Stevens.
Amen.
Because he brought this church through such an unusual time and brought us, you and your family.
Yeah, amen. We like that last part especially. Thank you, yeah. Right up here, Brother Larry. Oh, yes, there you go.
I love my pastor now, but I have to say, many years ago, Pastor Lassley preached a sermon on surrender.
Hmm.
And many times we go to the altar, and we make a commitment at that altar, and then a few days we forget all about that. But on that night, on a Sunday night, I went to that altar and I surrendered to the Lord. And I said, Lord, anything you want me to do, I'll do.
Yeah.
And God, from that time on, I could go in a long story here, but I won't. But I said, I'll do anything you want me to do. But the next Sunday, I seen a bus. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I could do anything but work on a bus. And that night, Jack Moser was the bus director. And he said, Larry, I want you to pray about something. And I said, what is it, Jack? He said, I want you to pray about working on a bus. And I said, I'll work on that bus. He said, no, I want you to pray about it. And I said, I've done prayed about it. And I think the Lord said, oh, buddy, you said you'd do anything. So I want you to work on a bus.
Yeah.
And we put a few years on the bus, and then the Lord called me to fifth grade.
Amen.
And God's give us a love, me and Linda, for those kids. And And it was early on in our young life that we was under Pastor Lashley. And he just allowed us, helped us through the Holy Spirit to grow in the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Who you got, Kyle? Yes, sir, Brother Ron.
Going back many years ago, I was at Temple Baptist Church, Kingsport, and we had a revival for a week. And on Thursday night, I heard a message from J. Harold Smith. And J. Harold Smith preached God's Three Deadlines. Mm. That got to me more than any message I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And that night I walked forward and found, he found me. Christ found me that night and started my career as a church member, a deacon later, a soul winner, and working with also the Gideon International.
Amen.
So that one guy, I'll have to say he had to...
God used him.
A use, yes.
Amen to that.
God used him.
You got another one over here. We'll do one or two more. Anybody else over there? And anybody catch Kyle's attention right here, Brother Bob?
Edmund Annette. He took Charlotte and I when we were just 20 years old. Worked with him for over 35 years.
Yeah.
But even though he was a great pastor, every pastor, regardless of who they are or where they are, they are God's love gift to the church.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, you know if somebody worked with Charlotte and make something out of out of that, then... Now, those of you feeling sorry for Charlotte right now, she gives it right back. I tell you, you don't have to feel sorry for her. She's small, but she can hold her own, that's for sure. So, anybody else back there, Kyle? All right, bring it on up here. Brother Marty, who's a good preacher that's blessed you? Really? Amen. Randy who?
Hobson.
Amen.
It would be my grandfather, Fred Marklin.
Amen.
I remember before I was school age, I would stay with them. And they didn't have any children school age, but all the kids gathered in front of their house. And they would come in their house to stay warm. Hmm. And I remember the big Bible that he kept, and he read to those children every morning when they would come in, the Word of God.
Amen.
And wow. When he drove into our neighborhood, all the kids come running, and we'd all come and sing a song for him.
Amen.
And he'd give us all a nickel, and we'd take off to the store. But but
Amen.
They were people of love.
Amen.
And he really affected my life.
Brother Tim Tipton, who's a preacher that God used in your life?
What he's done, he used Pastor Lear up in Kentucky when I was up our last military time, and he used Brother Wall up in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Margie's up our as young people back years ago, but he used Brother Wall and his wife, and they took care of us, took us in just like we was their children.
Amen.
So I appreciate people like that, and one serving today. Appreciate you, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you.
And others that served here. And I desire you to pray for me that I'll be the preacher I ought to be.
Yeah.
And I
Amen.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Tim is trying to instruct other people as well. So, all right, one more? Okay, thank you, Kyle.
Dr. Lee Robertson encourages us to stay in the book.
Yeah.
Don't go to the left or the right, but stay straight.
Yep. Dr. Robertson is funny. My pastor will tell about him. By the time I heard him preach, he had a crooked finger like that. He said, stay right down the road, not to the right or the left, but his finger always pointed to one way or the other. But so I know that some would. Dr. Lee Robertson, I went to Tennessee Temple for some time before I went to Marietta Bible College, and I had great, great admiration for Dr. Curtis Hudson. He was the president of the Sword of the Lord for some time, editor, and B.R. Lakin, who's preached meetings here from West Virginia, used of God in a wonderful way. Mase Jackson came to this church and tore it up year after year as he would come and preach. And a good friend of Preacher Lastly's. And Lester Roloff used to crisscross the country, had a boys and girls home down in Texas and Myron Cedar home years ago up in Ohio, up in Midwest somewhere there. And G.B. Vick was at that great church up in Detroit, Michigan. And pastor after pastor after pastor But I did that little exercise because I wanted to tell you each one of those people, and those are just pastors that preached and thundered out, some of them quietly preached out, but there'd be other ladies of God that were used of the Lord in our lives to help us in our walk and help us as we go forward. But each one of them being used of God and empowered by Him and led by Him would echo the sentiments of the great Apostle Paul here in this verse. And many of those folks that you just mentioned, they've already gone on to glory. They're already with the Lord that they preached about for so long. But if you could have asked them on their deathbed, they would have said what Paul said here, God forbid. If you'd have gone to them and say, you are the reason I love my pastor beyond belief. He has been so many things to me. He's the one that married Amy and I. He performed that ceremony. He was used of God to help me shore up salvation. He brought me to a lot of truths from the Word of God, and he ordained me to preach, and he hired me, and then he hired me again, and he led me in so many different ways. But he would be the first to say, John, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest marks of a man or woman of God is they do not take the credit for what God is doing through them. You get somebody who tells you they've got it all together and they're ready to show you how to do it, that's somebody you should hold way back from and be really leery. You get somebody who says, we're going forward for God and God will show us the way, then that's somebody you should probably yoke up with. But I have one claim to fame, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, not only do I have one claim to fame, but as we look on in verse number 14, I see this, that the world is crucified to me. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's all I should glory in, by whom the world is crucified unto me. And I've got to ask you tonight, is the world crucified to you? Have you put it on that cross? Does the world matter at all to you anymore? You take a kid to the buffet bar. Used to be that there was one down in Gallipolis, Ohio, and we go across. There's Dale's Smorgasbord, and every kid wanted to go there because they had all you could eat, all that stuff, and on the hot food side. But then they had ice cream and the sprinkles and whipped cream and chocolate chips and all the stuff. If you let a kid go to choose what he wants, he'll have ice cream and brownies and cotton candy and Skittles and Snickers and Dr. Pepper and all that, all to the point of he'll make himself sick. Even if he knows it's not good for him, he wants it. He'll say, I'll pay for it later. And sometimes we're the same way in this old wicked world. We know that a diet of it on our news and on our feeds and on our social media, we know that it's not the most healthy thing. We understand what the most healthy thing is, and that's the Word of God. We understand what we're supposed to be feasting on. But sometimes as that child that does not count his own health very important. He just says, forget all that. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. Sometimes we're as Christians like that. We say, forget what I'm supposed to be ingesting. Forget what I'm supposed to be. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yes, we know that, but sometimes we spend more time on television or more time on news feeds or more time on social media or more time on other things that are of the world. And we understand, though, the Scripture says that the world is crucified unto me. Let the world be dead to us. And I could say to us tonight, why is the world not dead to us right now this evening? Because you and I, if we're not careful, we keep it on life support. We keep feeding it enough. We keep going to it again and again. We keep putting a little bit of energy in it. And I'm challenging my friend, as the apostle said in this Word of God, he says, whom the world is crucified unto me. And then thirdly, before we leave tonight, not only do we have one claim to fame, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that that world is supposed to be crucified, but the last one is this, I'm also supposed to be crucified to the world. And I unto the world. Because the Bible goes on to say, verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither uncircumcision or circumcision, meaning that weight of the law, it doesn't mean anything one way or the other way, but a new creature, meaning that somebody's got to be in Christ, be a born-again person before it matters at all about your standing. And as you look at that, at the end of verse 14, and I unto the world. I mentioned Lester Roloff, who was an evangelist from years gone by. I did not know him, never met him, never heard him preach in person. But Brother Bobby Robertson, who pastored in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, not too far from here, he would have him come in, or he came in from different times, and so he was riding along with him in a car. This evangelist is with the pastor. And Brother Bobby thought, as he said something to Roloff, and he got really quiet, he thought he offended the evangelist. I don't know, remember what Bobby said, Brother Bobby said, but he thought he offended the evangelist. And he said, "Brother, I'm sorry." He said, "Sorry for what?" "I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for offending you." And that evangelist, in a kind way, kind of rebuked him. And he said, "Brother Bobby, if you offended me, that's on me, not you." And he said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You're not supposed to be able, you can't offend a dead man. I'm supposed to be dead. Dead and buried with baptism into Christ, and we're supposed to die to self. And so not only is the world dead to me, but I'm supposed to be dead to the world. I'm supposed to be dead to my ambitions. I'm supposed to be dead to the things that I want. I'm supposed to be alive. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If we went to the cemetery, I preached a funeral this afternoon for somebody that had called to ask our church for help in a matter. And so I went to that cemetery, grave after grave after grave after grave, and then we went and buried the person that their loved one. One thing about all them, you know that corny dad joke that when the dad drives past the cemetery, he said, "You know how many people are dead in there?" And the kid says, "I don't know." He says, "All of them." You know one thing about all of those, some saints and some not, of course. But all I'm about, they don't have desires of where they want to be anymore. They don't have the desires that they're dead to the things of this world. And the Scripture uses that mentality about us supposed to be dead to the things of this old world. But you have to admit, like the fellow sang, we all are those people in the song that they talked about different people. We also find ourselves having desires in this life about things that we ought not to have. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The Bible says that we're supposed to, in Romans chapter 12, that we're supposed to give our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm supposed to just be dead to Him, but I'm asking you this question. The world is supposed to be dead to you, but you're supposed to be dead to the world. How alive are you? I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2 says. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You and I have nothing to glory of save in the cross. And it's time that we die to self. Brother Gallion was talking about Lee Robertson. He would preach those same messages to not go to the right or the left, but go straight. And he was all forevermore preaching on the second coming. And then he was forevermore preaching as well on die to self. I've heard him say it so many times. Die to self. Die to self. That person you look at in the mirror is giving you more trouble than anybody else you'll see all day long. We think it's somebody else that's a problem, but it's not. It's that old flesh. I'm crucified to the world. Would you turn? You're in Galatians, hopefully, but look at Galatians 2, verse 20, and we'll close with that verse that I quoted just a moment ago. And as we close, I need to ask you if this verse is true in your life or if you need some work tonight. You're there, verse 20 of chapter 2, Galatians. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. You can't offend a dead man, he told Brother Bobby. But I'm afraid I spend much of my time getting offended at different things, don't you? Somebody doesn't do us right at a restaurant. We don't like that very well, do we? Somebody doesn't do us right around church here. We wanted them to slide in, but they didn't slide in. They let us in. They wanted to save their king spot on the end of the pew. Somebody gets in the spot before we get in there. We don't like that very well. I'm afraid that we think a lot of us. Somebody said that you really find out of how you find out how much of a servant you are when someone treats you like one. Meaning that they don't care about your feelings. They just simply go on about their day. I trust that you and I would strive tonight to make Galatians 2:20 true in our lives. I'm crucified with Christ. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for these moments we've had to share in your word. Thank you for the good singing you've given us. Thank you for the time to meet together as a church family. And Lord, I pray that we could say that verse from our hearts and mean it, that we too are crucified with Christ. The world's crucified to me and I unto it. God forbid that I should glory, except or save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as the ladies begin to play? And I have decided to follow Jesus. Brother Dan, would you mind coming and finding that what they're playing? Maybe you want to sing along with Brother Dan when he comes. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. My friends, I'm serious about this. I'm tired of keeping that old flesh on life support. I'm tired of thinking what's in it for me. I'm tired of accounting myself as something. God forbid that I should glory. Nothing is worthy in me, only the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Dan.
I have decided.
By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I'm telling you, folks, and I just seem like the Lord is working me over again right now, even maybe more so than before when I was preparing. But I don't know that we're living that way. Would it really be said of you that the world... You understand what crucifixion was, right? I mean, they took something against his will and put him up there on the cross. We understand what crucifixion is. By whom the world is crucified unto me. I've just taken that world and crucified it, and I am under the world. I'm thankful for what God's done in my life, but I pray to all of us that we would let him continue to work in us. Amen. And may we live in that way. As parents, as grandparents, as church members, as neighbors, may we live a crucified life. That's our need. Amen. That's all I got. Thank you for being in church tonight. I hope that God works in our lives all through this week. I'm going to ask these young men to slip on back to their table. There's a table back there. They have some books from their college and church. And they're all preacher boys or preparing for ministry in one way or another. Maybe you'd like to encourage them along the way, and each one of them have bills and different things that they're working on. Maybe God would put on your heart to be a blessing to them, but at least stop by and look at them and tell them you'll be praying for them as they prepare for God's service. We certainly need them. We need people at that college. We need people at Crown College, Ambassador College, and all these other ones just to raise up and go reach this old world for Christ. And we want to encourage the young men that come through and the young ladies as they prepare for God's work. Thank you for being in church tonight. And Daniel, would you get that microphone? Would you mind taking it back to Brother Wade and asking him, Brother Wade, would you pray for God to dismiss us with His grace and His glory, and just thank Him for the opportunity to be in church tonight.
Lord, I thank You for this message tonight, and I just hope You continue to make it personal to me. Holy Spirit, continue to work on me and help me to conform more to Your image. Lord, I thank You for our pastor and his family, and not only Amy, but the kids, Lord, just have Your hand upon them, look after them, and just touch them. I thank You for this congregation and how that we pray and look after each other and support each other. And Lord, keep Your hand on Buffalo Ridge, and thank You so much for Your Son. In His name, amen.